Let me switch right quickly over to our newsmaker line. And I was about to ask Ryan to help me out, but he got the help came from the gentleman himself. And this is Lung Cancer Awareness Month, and we are going to have the opportunity to speak with Dr. G. And Dr. G, all I can tell you is, sir, with everything I got on me, to have you cut it short real nice, but in all proper, I could not do it, but you certainly can do it. Dr. G, what's the G?
So, thank you so much. No worries. Dr. Galiatsatos, it's a long Greek name.
All right.
And many teachers have struggled with it, so Dr. G is perfectly fine. No worries, my friend.
Well, you're on board to talk to us about smoking cessation and lung cancer. And I get very quick, I just want to get to a few things with the time we have. How many people are diagnosed with lung cancer each year, and how does that compare to other cancers like breast, prostate, and colon?
So this is a great question to kind of put things into a massive perspective, right? Your lung cancers are the number one diagnosed internal cancers. They trump colon cancers. They trump breast cancers and prostate cancers. This by far is the most abundant cancer diagnosis and the most lethal. This kills more patients than your breast cancers and your colon cancers and your prostate cancers. So this is why we get the word out. This is what concerns us so much, because hearing this, you might be like, oh my gosh, this is the number one cancer, both diagnosis and mortality. But at the same time, please recognize it's preventable. It is very preventable. And that's why I want your listeners to realize, yeah, we got the power. So,
Dr. G, does lung cancer or smoking affect the Black community differently?
So from a conversation around, are certain populations impacted more than others? Your answer is correct. I mean, we see this ravaging more populations. The Black African-American community is impacted greatly. More individuals are diagnosed later in lung cancer. And if you diagnose a cancer late, I mean, it's, you know, the cat's out of the bag. It's hard to try to help that patient survive. So it impacts greatly this amazing community with late diagnoses that result in a lot of excess death.
Are there signs or symptoms of lung cancer? What are they?
So the signs and symptoms of lung cancer, if they are beginning, it's kind of an advanced cancer at that moment, right? Knowing it's the lungs, so you might get a cough that you're like, where's this cough coming from? I've never coughed before. You may even get that cough to be productive with a bit of blood-tinged sputum. Then weight loss and fatigue, kind of non-specific symptoms. But what I want to emphasize to your listeners is if the symptoms are occurring, it's usually an advanced cancer by that standpoint. That's why we are putting the emphasis, if you want to beat cancer, especially lung cancer, finding it early before it even impacts your quality of life, that's key. So the symptoms, cough, maybe some blood coming with that cough, and other non-specific symptoms like fatigue and weight loss that you can't explain by just dieting alone.
Well, Dr. G, who should be screened, and when should the screening be completed?
Yes, no, this is a great question. So unlike your other cancers, your mammograms, your colonoscopies, where we really just say blanketly, everyone go get screened. Lung cancer is differently, right? We actually emphasize it only for two criteria. One is age, so about 45 to 50, we begin to talk about lung cancer screening. And if you've been a heavy smoker for quite some time, those are the two reasons we do lung cancer screening, right? The smoking history, it is not something to feel stigmatized by or judged by, right? It's a legal product that people have been doing. And so talk to your doctor and say, I've been smoking for this many years, this many packs. And your doctor will weigh and say, you know what? That's a risk factor for lung cancer. And with your age, let's go get a lung cancer screening. And it's a simple test. Essentially a CAT scan, which is a three-dimensional x-ray, takes about 10 minutes, you're in and out.
Family, let me tell you, this question I want to ask because it's important. Please be careful to note his response. And Dr. G, this is my final question. What are the risk factors for lung cancer? And if you be so kind, good man, quitting smoking decreases the risk of lung cancer. With that being the case, What about your smoking cessation clinic and how you can help people quit?
Love that question. So the risk factors for lung cancer, there's really three, right? We talked about smoking and we talked about age are big ones, but also family history, right? If you know your mom had lung cancer, you may have the genetics to make you more susceptible to that. So I always emphasize, especially now, a week away from Thanksgiving, talk to your family. There's no, you know, hey, what did grandmom have? What, you know, does anyone have lung cancer in the family? You know, it's a good conversation just to get the ball rolling about what diseases could be running in the family that you want to prevent or control. From a smoking standpoint, you're spot on. When you've stopped smoking, your chances of developing lung cancer fall drastically. Actually, if you go 10 years without a cigarette, you have the same odds of forming lung cancer than a non-smoker. So it is 100% doable. And what I would really encourage your listeners is the way we approach smoking cessation in my clinic, right, is what I say is I'm pro-smoker, anti-smoking, right? We're going to do this comfortably with no judgment. You've learned the behavior of smoking. Now you're going to learn the behavior of unsmoking. My goal isn't just to get you to quit, to make sure you can stay quit. And if people have any, you know, desire to join our clinic, send us an email, tobacco@jhmi.edu. Happy to help. Happy to help.
From time to time, I don't know the clock's on me, but from time to time, I was about 11 years old, and I decided I was going to start smoking. And so what happened was my sister, she made me put six or seven Chesterfield cigarettes in my mouth and smoke them all at one time. And, sir, I haven't picked up a cigarette since. Now, that is not the way to do it. The way to do it is to get to know and be acquainted with a Dr. G, because his way is going to help you. But that was my wake-up call decades ago. But now we got clinics such as his. And how do they reach out to you, Doctor, for the final thought?
Yeah, no. So, and I appreciate your sister sounds fantastic to take kind of a good approach with you. And you're right, that may work for some, not for others. And in the way in our clinic, as I said, we emphasize learning the behavior of unsmoking, right? Because that's the insidiousness of the cigarette. It kind of is with people throughout their day, with their coffee, with their breakfast, when they're stressed, when they're happy. So we teach you how to live your life without a cigarette. So the best way, I would say, send us an email. tobacco@jhmi.edu, or give us a call at 410-550-7386, and we'll get you in. I mean, we usually get patients in within a week of giving us a call.
One more time quickly, the number?
410-550-7386.
Thank you, sir. And remember, family, this is Lung Cancer Awareness Month. And we had to pause, rightfully so, to give Dr. G a chance to talk to you, you, and you. Dr. G, thank you so very much for joining the Larry Young Morning Show. Appreciate you much, sir. Thank you much.
Thank you so much, sir.